today on Real Radio.
Canada cannot do it. Peru cannot do it. You look at many of the, if not all of the European nations, they cannot do it. But this nation was specifically founded by believers in the pursuit of God. That is American history.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 21, we looked at how night vision is seeing in the dark what others don't see. Isaiah had what was like a night vision from God of future events. God's going to bring justice to the people of Israel by punishing Babylon. The people never saw it coming, which really troubled Isaiah. Babylon is eventually delivered, but it's better to do what's right in the first place than to try to get back what's already been lost. Now in chapter 22, Isaiah sees trouble ahead for the nation of Judah and for the city of Jerusalem. Now God is going to punish them for worshiping other gods. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that when a nation forgets about God, the sin of unbelief grows. Isaiah tries to warn Judah and Jerusalem of their coming judgment. Their economy will fail them, their food will run out, civil unrest will break out as the enemy gets closer. They couldn't believe it, and they tried to prepare themselves, but it was too little too late. And now in his lesson called When God Gets Lost, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, though we be looking back nearly 3,000 years ago in the prophet Isaiah, we know that your word is not only given to us to know what went on back then, we know that it is given to us that our faith may be strengthened, but we know that your word is relevant to this very hour. So Lord, cause us as your people to receive from you this evening what your spirit would say to us. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah 22. And I've not given up on my dream, on my goal to someday get a couple of chapters done in one evening, but it's not going to be tonight. It's not going to be tonight. We look at Isaiah chapter 22, and as we look at this, by God's grace, we'll get through the chapter tonight. I'm going to do my best to keep up a pace that gives honor and justice to what we love to do here, and that's expositional teaching, that's verse by verse, but not get lost in the weeds and lose the picture of what's being said. And so in chapter 22 tonight, we're looking at a message entitled, When God Gets Lost. When God gets lost, not that God can get lost, but that when we as a people can lose God. When God gets lost in all of the demands and pressures of life, and we're going to learn a lot from Judah, the kingdom of the south, as Isaiah is the prophet to the southern two kingdoms. But in chapter 22, by way of somewhat of an overview, keep this in mind that thus far the prophecies of Isaiah have been, as you followed along with us in these studies, they've been prophecies of judgment, and it's been brought up as the burden of the Lord against Egypt. Remember that? The burden of the Lord against Ethiopia. The burden of the Lord against Assyria. And we expect that because these nations had come against Israel and Judah, and their attacking God's people had led to their demise, those nations being judged by God. But all of a sudden, chapter 22 is a shock. And you're going to hear tonight that there is the burden of the Lord against the valley of vision. You say, what is the valley of vision? The Valley of Vision is one of Isaiah's references to none other than Judah. Judah, Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, even though Israel to the north and Judah to the south will all be disciplined by the hand of God, Judah is specifically in the sights of chapter 22. And if you could zoom in with your microscope right down to the point of judgment, it's going to be mentioned here, Jerusalem. And that's a shock. We know from history that in about 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, General Nebuchadnezzar, his dad was king, Nabopolassar at the time, Nebuchadnezzar being the general, son to the king, son to the emperor of the Babylonian Empire. The general, Nebuchadnezzar, now comes through Judah and he's about to lay siege against it. He, in his career, will bring three waves of judgment to Jerusalem. And you know some of the acts of those events. One of them was the taking of the young Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel, the four famous Hebrew boys taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. He is about ready to attack. It's not happened yet in our study. So when you look at chapter 22, just know the enemy is on the outskirts. But for Isaiah to prophesy as he does against the city, he's weeping while he's doing this. His gut is wrenched because he sees his people and his countrymen having provoked the hand of God to judgment. That's a sad thing. And I want you to be thinking about that tonight. He's grieved. He's not happy about it. He's grieved. And he's sickened. And he's weeping. Even though they deserved and earned the punishment from God, God's people had turned their back on him. And so the enemy's closing in. And, you know, historically, we could say that about any other nation of the world, because history is filled with nations coming and going at the hands of an invader. But when you talk about Israel and the Jewish people, now you're talking about the direct eye of God being upon his people. And that's quite amazing. For the United States, I know this sounds almost self-serving, but it's not. I mean this both historically, I mean this because I know American history. There's no other nation on the face of the earth that could evoke the word of God and the providence of God like this nation, America, outside of Israel. Canada cannot do it. Peru cannot do it. You look at many of the, if not all of the European nations, they cannot do it. But this nation was specifically founded by believers in the pursuit of God. That is American history. And you go back to the era of the pilgrims, and their vision was clear. They stated it and wrote it so. So I bring this to your attention tonight to keep in mind that what we're looking at, you're going to be quite surprised, I think, or maybe not, that it rings so true of the day and age in which we live in. But back to Judah. Judah is hearing from the prophet, judgment's coming. You didn't get right with God, and God's going to punish you. And they looked at him, and they looked around, and they said, are you crazy? Man, the stock market's great. Isaiah, you got to be losing your mind. We've got wealth, we've got affluence, we're doing amazing. You've got to be kidding me. Judgment? No way. And they looked, as it were, at the tea leaves of the near discernment of their moment, and they concluded, well, we're too big to fail. We're God's people, after all. What could happen to us? Listen, the disciples had that same mentality, even though during Jesus' day, when Rome occupied Israel, the disciples remembered Matthew chapter 23 and 24 said to Jesus, when Jesus is not, one stone shall be left upon the temple that shall not be thrown down. The disciples came and said, how can this be? Are you crazy? No way. That's the temple of God. If there was going to be any safety at all in an invasion, you would run to the temple because God would never allow his temple to come down, right? And Jesus said, wrong. Think of the seriousness of it. Oh, would God ever bring down Wall Street or hey, if he did it to Jerusalem and his people in punishment for their disobedience, why not America? When God gets lost in our lives, we get wayward from him. And so it's not a good thing. Before we get into this and then really pick up the pace and maybe run through this, keep this in mind that what you're about to hear, ancient rabbis believed that, and this is kind of cool, we can't disprove them. It sounds too fantastic. It's very romantic. But listen to this. The ancient rabbis believed that when God spoke the universe into physical existence, that when he spoke it into existence, the physical earth unfurled or unrolled beneath his feet. Okay. And that very spot of where the earth was formed underneath his feet was none other than Israel. But if you zoom in on their doctrine, on their teaching, they believe that when God spoke the physical universe into existence, that he was atop, he was on the Temple Mount, he was in Jerusalem, and that's what they believe. You say, well, is that true or false? I don't know, but I know this. That's how sacred that place is held by the Jewish people. And it was true in Isaiah's day. But the land belongs to God, he says. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 11, just write it down in your margins. In Deuteronomy 11, 11, God says, but the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys. Listen to this. Which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. From the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. That's what God says about the land of Israel. You say, well, Jack, wasn't there people living on it before Joshua and the children of Israel crossed over? Yeah. In fact, wasn't there even people living on it when Abraham was promised the land? Yeah. The flesh always comes before the spirit. God promised the land, and yeah, it's true. You could say that the Phoenicians and Philistines and the Canaanites and all the others were there first. You could say that, and it's a fact. But who made the land? God made the land, and it's God's liberty to promise the land to anybody who wants to. And he promised it to the descendants of Abraham. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, the Bible says, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. Now listen, Isaiah 49, 16, regarding the land. Behold, I have inscribed you, that is Zion, he's speaking to, read the chapter, it's Zion, on the palms of my hands, your walls are continually before me. God says he keeps his eye on Israel. The Bible says he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He loves the land. I believe God loves America. I believe, based on our study tonight, that the Jewish people here, they're guilty of offending God. And I believe that as we look to this portion of Scripture and the application of our daily living today, that America has offended God. I don't think it's a stretch. And so now coming to Judah is the coming judgment. And you're going to hear this, because the people of Jerusalem began to, number one, tolerate and then endorse and then adopt the practices of foreign gods. That's what he's going to hold them accountable to. And so look at this. Verses 1 to 14, when God gets lost, we see that the sin of unbelief grows. That's what's happening. The burden, verse 1, against the valley of vision. What ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? People are up to the housetop looking around to see what's happening. You who are full of noise, a tumultuous city, a joyous city is the question mark. Your slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. It's an interesting statement because, first of all, because of their unbelief, the judgment is spoken against them that you're going to be judged, but your men are not going to die in battle. They're not going to have the opportunity to have the nobility of dying in battle. Ladies, I don't know if you know this about men, at least normally, it's kind of this way. God has put it within our hearts to defend and to protect. It's not that a woman can't. She will if need be. Don't ever mess with Mama Bear. But God has put it in a man's heart to be a warrior. And there's a part of a man that there is, in fact, like my dad, when the United States was under attack in World War II, my dad took it upon himself. He lied to my grandma and grandpa. He stole away in the night, he caught a ride on a train, and went from South Dakota to San Diego, went to the Marine Corps in San Diego, and lied about his age to join the Marines so he could go to war. That's what people did in those days. And God is saying, because you've sinned against me, judgment's coming, but you won't even have the nobility of going to war. Your men are going to die within your own streets. You're going to be taken by a siege, and you won't have that opportunity. And Isaiah says the valley of vision, it's the word, I see what's coming. They've all gone up to the housetops, and in a moment you're going to see that they actually turn it into a party while Isaiah is down in the valley weeping. Prophets are never well received. They're always criticized. They're hated by the enemy, and they're often hated by their own people. Because they can see things, they sense things, they hear from heaven, they speak about the culture, they speak about what's going on, and they're hated. And he sees ahead, and he sees the coming judgment, and he speaks it to the people, and they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that at all. Isaiah informs them. In verse 3, look at that. And all your rulers have fled together. Can you circle that, please? All your rulers take off and split. They are captured by the archers. All who are found in you are bound together. He's prophesying. They have fled from afar. Therefore, this is Isaiah speaking. He said, look away from me. So people, don't look at me, Isaiah is saying. I will weep bitterly. Do not labor to comfort me. He's so sick to his stomach over the coming judgment, he cannot be comforted. Because of the plundering of the daughter of my people. Brokenhearted. Verse 5. For it is a day of trouble and treading down in perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls and crying to the mountain. Elam, that's another name for Persia. Iran today bore the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kerr uncovered the shield. Verse 7, it shall come to pass that your choicest valleys shall be full of chariots. So an invader's coming, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. So Isaiah's prophesying, and this is amazing, that their governmental leaders would abandon them in the time of difficulty and danger, that they would abandon their positions and they would go about to seek themselves, government leaders. Could you ever imagine having government leaders that would only make decisions and do for themselves that which betters them and not you? Could you imagine having government leaders that are just absolutely absorbed with self, gives themselves raise when the economy is crashing? Do I sound like Isaiah? Do you see the amazing similarities? Your government leaders, he's speaking to Judah. They're in power. They're ministers to bless you. They've split. The army's invading. They took off. They cut the first plane out of town. Wow. Isaiah 22 verse 5 tells us that, as we read it a moment ago, it's a day of trouble. Some Bible scholars, and I have to agree with them, because you guys are well taught on Wednesday nights regarding the near and far fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Some what's called eschatologists, those are professors of the Word of God, the Bible, regarding prophetic teachings, see here now a shift in the near, yes, but the far fulfillment regarding the tribulation period in the nation of Israel, because the verbiage Isaiah uses, for it is a day of trouble, is a code word, is one of those buzzwords that in the time of Israel in the tribulation period, it's referenced with that statement, with that saying. But unbelief has led to this horrific judgment that's coming. Church, here's the reason why. Because of unbelief, they began to tolerate these foreign idols and stuff. They were bringing them in. You can read other books of the Bible. Ezekiel is one of them, where people who said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, which is a Hebrew word, hallelujah, Yah, God's name, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Did you know that while they're saying praise the Lord, they had their idols of Baal, they had their trinkets of Diana, or they had these various gods. Think of it. And just to be sarcastic, I'll put it this way. They went to church on Sunday, but they had their idols from Monday to Saturday. Or in this case, they would go to synagogue on Saturday, and they would have their idols from Sunday to Friday, right? Oh, hallelujah. And as soon as they got out, they went back to their idols, and they began to tolerate their idols. They had brought in these other gods, which we know from the New Testament. Paul warns us in the book of Corinthians that to have idols is to actually open up the door to demonic activity in your life, because demons travel and traffic around idols. And God had been warning them and warning them and warning them, but they didn't part with it. And they looked around. They said, well, wait a minute. And this is dangerous. Watch this. Hey, we're doing all this stuff. Listen, the word is pantheistic. You ever heard of that? Pantheistic is to believe in all the gods so you don't offend any of the gods. The Greeks were pantheists. Remember when Paul in Acts 17 went to Mars Hill and he's walking up the main boulevard right there? And he's walking up the road, and a line along the highway or the roadway are all these podiums and pedestals with all these various gods on it. And there's a god like that, and a god like that. And there's all these names of these different gods. And Paul was walking, looking, and he said, well, my goodness, this is one religious town. And then there's the one, because the Greeks didn't want to offend any of the gods, so they had one that was empty, a pedestal, and it said, to the unknown god. So we don't offend if we missed one. And Paul in his brilliance said, hey, you Athenians, I want to talk to you about this one right here, to the unknown god. All these other gods, they're all fake compared to this one. It is awesome. Read Acts 17 later. It's amazing. It should be, if I was the dictator of America, I'd have it inscribed on every university campus entrance of the gate there, you know, that all the other gods have got to bow down to the God of heaven and earth. That has started a riot. Why? Why? Because we have tolerated foreign gods. We have tolerated idols. We have forgotten the God of heaven and earth. When God gets lost, it's because, listen, it's not that he's somehow vacant. God gets lost when we leave him. Didn't Jesus warn the church at Ephesus? Return to your first love. We can lose God. It's a very scary and dangerous thing if you think about it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And our hope is that you stay close to the Lord, where true happiness can be found. When God Gets Lost, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was actually born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk. And you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. And I want to remind you to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app when you get a chance. All kinds of ways to connect with everything that is Real Radio and Pastor Jack. Just simply go to your app store and download the Real Life app. You can also click your way through reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.